Okay, today's daf is Mi'ilah daf Yud Tes. We left off on daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. We're about halfway down the page. Last words on the line are Ein Li. We are at Ein Li Elan, about halfway down the page, Yud Ches Amid Beis. So yesterday we quoted a brisa. Now we're going to elaborate on the brisa. So we were discussing how we learn from the words Timol Ma'al a lot of different halachas, and we're going to start going through those various drushos that we made in the brisa yesterday. Then we're going to discuss how the Mishnah says that if a woman wears jewelry that belongs to Hegdish, so that is not pogame the jewelry at all, and it's all about a hana'a of a Shava Pruta. So the Gemara is going to discuss that line in the Mishnah, and then the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about if someone doesn't have the hana'a and the pagam exactly at the same time or exactly from the same thing, or it's a chatzi pruta of one and a chatzi pruta of the other, and well. Oh, today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landwehr in honor of his wife and children, and by an anonymous sponsor in honor of a Gemara Chasima Tova for BKNW, all of BKNW, and all of our families. So let's just begin. So we're holding Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at Ein Li Ela. So says the Gemara. The first drasha that we compared Mi'ila to Truma with. Remember, we had six different halachos that we derived from the comparison between Mi'ila and Truma. So Ein Li Ela Ochel. I would only know that there's Mi'ila if you're by eating something where you're both pogame and you're nehenah, because by Truma, a zar is only chayev when he eats truma, and the achila involves both a pagam and a hana. Nena b'davar shein bo pagam minayin. How do I know that it's a violation of mi'ilah if you get hana without being pogame? So, and you could also ask the following: achilas avichilas chavero. If you take a shavar pruta from hagdish and you eat half of it, and someone else eats half of it, or hanayos avanayos chavero. You take a shavar pruta of hagdish, you get hana of a chatzi pruta from it, and someone else gets hana of a chatzi pruta from it. Or hana also va'achilas chavero. You anoint yourself with shemen shel hagdish a chatzi pruta worth, and you feed a chatzi pruta worth to your friend. Achilaso va'anayas chavero. You eat a chatzi pruta worth, and you're mahana a chatzi pruta worth of hagdish. Someone else with a chatzi pruta worth of hagdish. How do I know shemitzar from zem zed that these things are mitzayv to each other, and it constitutes a violation of mi'ila and afil lizman meruba minayin? How do I know that even if it's over an extended period of time that you ate or were nana from a chatzi shir in the morning and then ate a nana from another chatzi shir in the afternoon, that that's also a violation of mi'ilah, and that you're chayiv to pay back and the ere chomesh and the asham mi'ilos, the whole chiv mi'ilah? So tamal lomar timol mal mikol makom. That's what the pasuk says. Timol mal tells me in any circumstance, even if it doesn't all happen in one maisa, and even if it doesn't all happen by one person, and even if it doesn't all happen at one time, you're always going to be chayiv. So frakta gemara, a second drasha, once we compare mi'ilah to truma, ima chet ha'amr b'truma lo tziriv shtei achilos ke'echad, that when it comes to truma, we're not mitztariv two achilos in order to be chayiv. The zar has to eat a full shear of a kazayis betoch kedei achilos pras. We're not mitztariv two separate achilos together. So av chet ha'amr b'mi'ilah lo tziriv shtei achilos ke'echad. So I would imagine that the same thing should be true by mi'ilah if we're really going to link truma to mi'ilah. So minayin achal ha'yom v'achal ha'machar. How do I know that if a person eats a chatzi shear today and another chatzi shir tomorrow, that they're mitztarif afil d'zman meruban, even there's an extended period of time between one achila and the other, 2 days, 3 days between them, tamal omer timol mal mikol makom. That's another thing I learned from timol mal mikol makom, that mi'ilah is more expansive, the chiyah for mi'ilah is more expansive than the chiyah for truma. A third drasha, ima chet ha'amr b'truma pigimasa v'hana aso ke'echad, that the full shir in one person has to be in one maisa by mi'ilah, you're only going to that you're only going to be chayv by truma if it's pigamasu v'hana'aso ke'echad, that the pagam and the hana'a happens at the same time. So by mi'ila also, I would think you're only going to be chayv if you ate and were nana at the same time from a full shear. So minayin l'achilas v'achilas chaveru v'afilu mikan v'achol shanim minayin. How do I know that your achila and someone else's achila are mitzarif? And even if you're not Ashlan Nishir Achila between now and 3 years from now, how do I know that you can be chayv? Tam Lamar, Timul Mal Mikal Makam. So Imachet Amor Betruma, a fourth drasha. Maybe we could say that just like Betruma, you're only chayv on paying back the extra chomish for Achila's Truma, Ad She Yetzi Min Hakodesh L'chol, in a situation where by eating the Truma, you were motzi the Truma to Chulin. So by Mi'ila, I would say the same thing, that you're not going to be chayv the extra chomish and the Asham Mi'ilos unless you use the Hegdish for Divrei Chol. So how do I know that Min Hakodesh L'Kodesh, that even if you use the Hegdish for some other Tzarchei Hegdish, not even for Tzarchei Chol? So what would be such an example? Kigon, Lokach Kinei Zavim V'Kinei Zavos V'Kinei Yoldos. You take Hegdish money and you buy variety of bird karbanos to Torim, to Bnei Yona for Zavah, for Yoledas, that you have to bring after the Tara process. Or you take money of Hegdish V'Shakal Shiklo, and you give your Machs HaShekel that you have to give for the Trumas HaLishcha, Ve'evi Chatoso V'Hashamo. Or you take the Hegdish money and you buy your own carbon chatos, your own carbon asham that you chayev in, min ha-hegdish, for money of hegdish, kivan shehotzi ma'al, since you spend this money and you were brought to the azara, you brought your carbon to the azara that you purchased from hegdish money, you violated mi'ila, divar Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon's shita, that if you're mafrish a carbon for a chiyuv, the chiyuv of the achrayus on the carbon goes away as soon as you bring it to the azara. So in our situation, you should be chayev on the mi'ila with the mice of bringing it to the azara, because then you were nene from Hegdish, because at that point you no longer have a chrayis for your karban. So now you've pottered your chiyuv, that's your hana'ah from Hegdish, even though you weren't motzi in mehegdish l'chulin. It was mehegdish l'hegdish. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ad Shizra Kadam. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that the chiyuv achrayis of a karban only goes way out to Zrikas Hadam. So that's when you have the kapara, and therefore that's when you're no longer responsible for it, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv on the mi'ila until you do the Zrikas Hadam. But bottom line is, minayin, how do I know that if you motzi mekodesh l'kodesh, that you mal, according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, each one at their designated time, Rabbi Shimon at the time that's brought to the Azar, Rabbi Yehuda at the time, they do the Zrikas Hadam, Tamal Omar, Timal Mal. The pasuk says, Timal Mal, tell me that you chayiv mikol makom, that you chayiv a mi'ila, no matter what, that it's a much more expansive chiyuv. So now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Braisa that we were discussing yesterday. So Amar Mar, the Braisa had said, Nefesh, Echad Yachad V'Echad Nasi V'Echad HaMashuach B'Mashma, that when we say Nefesh in the pasuk, that implies that it doesn't matter whether it's a regular private citizen that violated mi'ila, whether it's a melech that violated mi'ila, or whether it's a kohen gadol that violated mi'ila, they all have the same din when it comes to mi'ila. Sheyachol mai. Pshita, nefesh ksiv. What do you mean? Does the Braisa need to be mefaret all the different levels of people that are chayiv for mi'ila? Where's the room for mistake? Meaning, isn't it obvious nefesh includes all Jewish people? That all a king is a Jew and a kohen gadol is a Jew. So why would we assume otherwise? So it doesn't imply anyone who has a nefesh. So says Gemara, ma'u detema amar achmana va'asher yitin mimenu alzar v'hai lav zarhu to imshach b'gam. I might have thought that since the pasuk talks about the Shemana Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made to anoint the Mishkan and the Kelim and Aaron and Banav, so the pasuk says V'ashar Yitin Menu Al Zar V'Nichras Me'amav, that if you put it on a Zar, then you'll be Chayiv Karis. And this Kohen Gadol is not a Zar as far as the Shemana Mishcha is concerned, because he was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. So just like he's not a Zar as far as Shemana Mishcha is concerned, I would imagine any item of Hegdish is the same as Shemana Mishcha, and therefore he's not subject to Mi'ila. So Kamash Malan, that's why he has to tell me that yes, he is. He's included in Mi'ila just like anybody else. Va'akshar Rachmana, the Braisa also told us that the Torah makes a hekesh between Mi'ila and Hegdish for to three different things. Lesota, meaning Mi'ila of Hegdish is compared. Lesota, it's compared to a Sota, because it also uses the word Ma'al by Sota. So we see Mi'ilas compared to Sota, and Lavodas Chavim. Mi'ilas compared to Avodah Zarah, because it also uses the term Ma'al by Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk in Devarei Yamim says, Vayimalu Belukei Avoseim, Vayiznu Achrei Haba'olim, and Ulitruma. Right? We also learned that Mi'ilas compared to Truma. So because it says Chet by both, Velosisuel of Chet by Truma, and by Mi'ila, Vechatabishkaga Mikache Hashem. So you have a comparison, a link in the Torah itself, itself to all three. So the Gemara explains what about Mi'ila is comparable to all these three things. So the Sota, Diafagav de lo Pagam, it's like a Sota in the sense that, just like a Sota, even if even though she was not Nifgemes by becoming a Sota, so Gabi Hekdash Nami, the same is going to be true by Hekdash, Nasna Tabas Biyada Ma'ala, that even though she puts a piece of jewelry that does not get devalued, it does not depreciate one single bit by her putting it on her hand, still it's a violation of Mi'ila. What does it mean? The Sota doesn't get devalued? So the assumption is that when a girl gets married, there are two types of ksubas. There's a ksubas basula and a ksubas bu'ula. A bu'ula is peguma. But so this woman, of course, is a bu'ula if she's becoming a Sota. She's already been with her husband. So in that sense, she's not becoming peguma. In fact, she wouldn't be eligible to be a Sota unless she had already been with her husband. The whole parasha of Sota, the Gemara in Sota has a drasha, that the whole parasha of Sota only applies to a woman who's already been with her husband. As a kiaksha, rachmana levels chavim, and the link between Mi'ila and Avodah Zarah, da'adi is pashinui, that the ma'isa of Mi'ila has to involve some sort of shinui and pagam, just like one is pogam in kavod shemayim by Avodah Zarah. So gabe hegdash nami, adi debika bekardom, v'yifkam upagum, until a person chops with an axe, chulin wood, which is a shinui, and the malachas kodesh for malachas chol, here you're taking something that was designated for kedusha, and instead you're using it for malachas chol. That's the shinoi element that we're highlighting when it comes to avodah zarah. That by avodah zarah you're taking certain feelings acts of submission that are supposed to be designated specifically for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're using it instead for an avodah zarah. Since we call that a pagam, that in a certain way it's pogam kavod shemayim kaviyachol, right? That you can't be pogam the Ribbono Shel Olam, but in a certain sense that we're pogam Hashem's presence in this world, which is a very powerful thing. So aksha rachmana the truma, it's also compared to truma in the fact that ma truma ki yochal prat lemazik, just like truma. When a Zari eats Truma, it's Kiyochal Prat Lamazik. It's only if he eats Truma and he benefits from it. But if he just destroys Truma, then he's not going to be Chayv in the Tosef Es Chomish, like a Hegdash Nami, called Barachila, Ki Mazik Le Pater. That if it's something that's edible, and instead of eating it, the guy just takes the Hegdash and destroys it and burns it, throws it in the garbage, so then he's not going to be subject to Mi'ila. So now the Mishnah had said, Ketzad, what's an example of something that doesn't become Pagum? Nasna Katla. She takes a necklace and she wears it, so that's a violation. Or a person uses a golden goblet that belongs to Hegdash, it doesn't devalue it whatsoever. Nevertheless, it's a violation of Mi'ila if you get a Shavu Pruta's worth of Hana'a. So I'm Rav Kana Rav Zid. So Rav Kana says to Vid, why is it Rav Zid? Why does the Mishnah say by Klei Zahav that since you're Nehene without being Pagam, it's Ma'al with a Hava Lav Barif Kumehu? Does gold not become Pagum when you use it? Vadava de Kalsi Dunun. The gold of the Kala of Nun, who's a very rich person, and he gave a lot of gold to his Kala, and apparently went down in value a lot, and it went down in weight a lot over time. So where did all that go? Obviously, you see that gold can become pagum. Amle Dilma David Rabin Kalasechu. It could be that that gold went to the place where she throws her gold. Meaning, the gold of the Kala of Nun is not a riot to anything because she didn't know how to take care of her things. People who have nice things, in order to take care of their things, they're not going to get devalued. In order to take care of their jewelry. But if someone, you know, just throws it all over the place or whatever, so of course it gets devalued. Of course it's going to, but that's not a raya to the way we would treat Hekdish items. Granted, klizav are not going to lose their value right away when you're nana from it. Can you bring a raya that it's never going to become pagum? It could be that over a very extended period of time, the klizav are going to lose some of their value. But since that's not a pegima that happens as you use it, it's therefore called something that's not subject to pegam. Being subject to pegam means that as you're being nene from it, it is becoming more pagum. Hanene min achatas. If a person gets hana'a from a chatas, so this is the next line in the Mishnah. When it's alive, we said, you're not moel ad sheyifkom, because it's a davar sheyish bo pegam. So, because since it could be sold by Hegdish, so if it is now worth less, Hegdish can get less money. So that's something that's yesh po pagam, so you're only going to be in violation of Mi'ila when you are pogimit. So says Mar Michti, even behemet tamima. If we're talking about an animal that doesn't have a mum, you're not allowed to be poda it for any money. It's only the akrava. So there is no pegima, because even if it gets weaker and it gets, it's an animal that wouldn't sell for the same on the market, but it can't be sold on the market anyway. It's only going to be used for your kapara, and it will work just as well for your kapara if it's fat or if it's skinny. So it doesn't make a difference. What kind of pagam is there to talk about? If you're talking about a chatas that's a tamima. So hainu kol shel zav, that should be just like the kol shel zav, that doesn't go down in value, and therefore it shouldn't be all about the ana. It shouldn't be about the pagima at all. So I'm Rav Papa, b'balas mum askinun. Yeah, that's why we have to say that we're talking about a balas mum over here. A behema that's a chatas, that's a balas mum. Halacha is that it's supposed to be sold and use the money for a carbon. How much money are you going to get from it? For it, well, it depends how much it's worth. So now, when you're a pogim, when you make it worth less, so that's a real meila through the method of pegam. Okay, new Mishnah Namid Beis says the Mishnah nene bish bekachati pruta. A person is nene from hagdish by wearing a beged, let's say, that belongs to hagdish, and his hana'a was worth a chatzi pruta, less than the shear that you normally chayav from meila. But then upagam, he made a tear in the beged while he was wearing it, and it went down. But kachatzi pruta, also a half a pruta's worth. So in the same act, he got a half a pruta of hana plus a half a pruta of pagam, and the pagam wasn't from the hana. The pagam was aside from the hana. Oh, shenene b'shavu pruta, he got a hana of a shavu pruta worth of agdish b'davar echad by wearing, let's say, a beged that belongs to agdish. But he takes off the beged; it's still worth every penny that it was worth before, and then upagam b'shavu pruta b'davar acher. But then he's pogim something else that belongs to Hagdish, that without being nana from it, he pours a mashke that belongs to Hagdish on the ground. So he was pogim it, but he didn't get any anav from it. Lo ma'al, he's not chayiv to pay the extra chomesh and the asham mi'ilos ad sheyahana b'shavu pruta v'yivko b'shavu pruta b'davar echad. It has to be that the ana and the pagam comes shavu pruta of each on the same object. And the reason is, as we explained, that mi'ilah is compared to truma, which is nechal by azar, that just like truma, the pagam and the achila and the hana are all together, they all come at one time, so too by mi'ilah, that's what you chayiv, if the pagam and the hana, it all comes at one time. So ein mo'al achar mo'al b'mukdashin, there is no two mi'ilos, one after the other, by things that are mukdash la'ashem. If a person did mi'ilah of an object that belongs to Hagdish, that object now becomes chulin, and if someone else gets hana from it, he's not in violation of meila because now it's no longer hagdish; it's now chulin. Ella behema klisharis plavad, with the exceptions of a behema that's a tamima that's kachem is beach and a klisharis, that those items, even after one violates meila on them, they retain their original kedusha. And if someone uses them again and violates meila, it will be a further violation of meila. Ketzad rachav lagabi behema ubacha veru v'rachav kulan mal. A guy takes an animal that was designated for a korban, and it's a tamima, doesn't have mum, and he rides on it, and then his friend says, oh, let me try that, and he rides on it, and someone else, each of them is violating mi'ila, one right after the other. Shasa b'kol shel zav, someone takes a golden cup that's a clay shares, and he drinks from it. Uba chaveru, and he says, ah, I want to have a sip, v'shasa. Uba chaveru v'shasa, kulan malu, they're all in violation of mi'ila. Talash min achatas, if a person removes hair or wool from a chatas, that's again a tamima, that's omid akrava. Uba someone else comes and pulls off a little more wool, they're all in violation of mi'ilah. And the reason is the same for all of them, that even if it's if the hegdish becomes nifgam by the first guy using it, but even after the begima, it's still ra'oi lahakrava. The klisharis is still ra'oi l'sheirus. It's still ra'oi to be used. So even if it went down in value by the first guy using it, there is no pidyon for it, so it's not omed l'damim, and therefore the mi'ilah that you violated is not going to be motziyat l'chulin. So someone else is going to use it again. There'll be a violation of mi'ila too. But another shita. Rebbe Yomer called davar she'ein lo pegam. Anything that doesn't become nifsal b'pegima, meaning anything that doesn't have any pidyon, like a behema and a klesharis, that are the two examples we've mentioned so far, yesh b'mol l'achramol. It's not only behema and klesharis, it's anything that's in lo pegam is also going to be subject to mol l'achramol. So we're going to have to figure out what didn't we mention? We mentioned behema to me, we mentioned klesharis. So what else is there? So says Mari Mani Masnisin, who is our Mishnah assuming like that when we say that there's moel achar moel, even by klei shah, the dafka by klei shahreis. So says more Rabbi Nechemia, he did tanya, ein moel achar moel el bebehema bulvad. Rabbi Nechemia omer behema u klei shahreis. Tanakama actually holds that klei shahreis are not included in the double me'ila, in the double whammy of me'ila. It's only a double jeopardy, whatever you call it. For the same thing, you get me'ila multiple times. It's only behema alone. So it's Rabbi Nechemia who says that klei shahreis are also included. So my time in Tanakama, why does Tanakama think ein moel achar moel by anything except for behema? Because kasavar binyan de behema ksiv, that he assumes that the drasha that we darshan of ein moel of meila achar meila is dafka said in the context of behema and not in the context of anything else, and therefore it only applies to behema de ksiv, because the pasuk in parsha, the parsha about meila says be'el ha'asham, it says va'koyni chaper lov be'el ha'asham nisachlo. So the words be'el ha'asham are extra because the pasuk prior to that said ve'vias hashem al hashem ayil tamim le'asham. So it already said that we're talking about an ayil for an asham. So why does it have to then mention el ha'asham? So it's obviously for a drasha to tell me that the someone's mo'el be'el ha'asham, and since even after the me'ilah the pasuk still calls it an asham, so you see that it still retains its kedusha even after the me'ilah. But that's it. Only there where the pasuk says it, that even after you commit me'ilah on an animal, that's a korban, it's still subject to further me'ilah. Rabbi Nechemia amar lach, Rabbi Nechemia would say kal v'chomer im achir maybe l'kedushas and hu atzma l'kolshkein, that klisharis is mekadesh whatever it put, you put inside of it, and it gives whatever you put inside of it kedush saguf. You put flour, you put oil, you put wine in a klisharis, it becomes niskadish b'kedush saguf and can never become chulin afterwards. And there's a moel achar moel, so it's kal v'chomer if a klisharis brings other things into kedusha chamura to the point that there's mi'ila achar mi'ila. So hu atzmo, the kos itself, v'kolshkein, all the more so should have this kedusha that has moel achar moel. Meaning, no matter how many things you keep putting into a klisharis, they all become subject to me'ila. So you see, it can keep on being reused to make things eligible for me'ila. So it itself should be eligible multiple times for me'ila. That's the kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yama called davar shein lo pidyon. Rabbi said that anything that doesn't have any pidyon is similar to behema and klisharis. But therefore, if it would be subject to me'ila achar me'ila. That it's not only behema and klisharis. Anything that has no pidyon. So frankly, Gemara, hainu Tanakama. Rabbi seems to be saying the exact same thing as the Tanakama. So Amar Rava, no, it's not the exact same thing. Ika ben ayu. Eitzim, when we talk about a person's misnadev eitzim for the mizbeach, titan rabbanon haomer harei alei eitzim. Person says, I'm committing to bring eitzim for the mizbeach. Lo yifchas mishnei gezirin. He has to bring at least two blocks of wood for the ma'aracha, and that's what they would burn on the mizbeach. They would burn the karbanos on the mizbeach. The brisa is quoted in Maseches Menachos that the makor of this din is a pasuk that says in Vayikra v'nefesh kisakruv karban mincha. The word karban is extra, so it's talking about something that's beyond the regular carbon, the eitzim that you need for the ma'aracha, and it says va'goralos he palnu al carbon ha'eitzim. See eitzim, you see that eitzim are called the carbon. So that's the shita of the Tanakama, that the akrava of the eitzim that a person was misnadev to the mizbeach is done as a the way the hakrava of the atzei ma'aracha. Rebbe Omer eitzim carbon hein, that the eitzim themselves are a carbon that you're able to be makdish, that they should be a carbon with every detail. And if you say a kohen is makriv them on the mizbeach, utunin melach, and you need to put salt on eitzim that they're bringing on the mizbeach, because every korban gets salt. So this is a korban like any other. Utunin hagasha, and you need a hagasha like you would by mincha, where it says v'kriva ela kohen v'gisha ela mizbeach. But before the kamitza, he brings it toward the keren dromus maravis of the mizbeach, and that's the machlokas tanakama in the Mishnah and Rebbe. That according to Rebbe, Eitzim are called a karban, and their kedusha is a kedusha saguf, just like a behema, and therefore they're subject to moel achar moel, to double jeopardy of mi'ila. And if a person sits on those Eitzim, and then someone else comes and sits on those Eitzim, he's in violation of mi'ila as well. But the Tanakama holds like the Rabbanan, that the Braisa of the Eitzim, the Tanakama of the Braisa, the Rabbanan in the Braisa, who hold that Eitzim are not a karban, their kedusha is only kedusha bet kabayis, and therefore there is no moel achar moel, only the first guy that sits on it and is not enough. from it is in violation of Mi'ila. Amar Rava, Ludivir Rebbe, according to Rebbe, that Eitzim themselves are a Karban, Eitzim Tu'unin Eitzim. You need other Eitzim to burn these Eitzim, because by all other Karbanos, you need Eitzim to burn together with the Karban. But if the Eitzim are a Karban, they need other Eitzim to burn with it, because it's a Karban. So it's meaning you take it to that degree. Vamrav Papa, L'divrei Rebbe, according to Rebbe, that an Eitzim is mamish like a carbon milcha, Eitzim tzrichin kamitza, you should have to kamitza an Eitzim, meaning you should have to cut it up into little wood chips and get ready for some splinters, because you're not allowed to do avoda with gloves on, right? And you have to take a kamitza from the Eitzim. So that's one explanation of what the machlokas is in our Mishnah. Another explanation is the following. Now, just a little bit of background. When it comes to being podakachim, the Torah tells us that in Kol Behemah Tameah Asher Lo Yakriv Mimenu Korban LaHashem Ve'Emes HaBehemah Lifnei HaKohen VeHerech HaKohen Osa, that in order to be po the Behemah's Kachim, you need Hamad V'Aracha, you need to be Mamed the Behemah Al Ragleha, and the Kohen assesses its value, and that's what happens whenever you're po the from Hegdish. So if the Behemah dies before you had the chance to do Hamad V'Aracha, so you're not able to be po the because there's no ability to do Hamad V'Aracha. By Hamad V'Aracha, the pasuk says Behemah. So there's machlokas tanaim in Maseches Tmura. Does it mean a behema tameya that was hukdash al bedek abayis and that it requires hamad varacha, or does it mean no, a behema tahora that was hukdash al mizbeach, but then it developed a mum, so it's tameya la korban, that it's not eligible for a korban, and that's what requires hamad varacha. And based on that machlokas, we can now explain the machlokas in our Mishnah. Rav Papa Amar kachim mizbeach tamimin v'nasu balei mumin. If you had kachim mizbeach that were tamimin roi lak rava, and then they became balei Mumin, and therefore you have to be po to them. But then you shechted them while they were still kadosh before you ever had the opportunity to be po to them. That's the machlokas between Tanakam and Rebbe. Vatanya, just like we learned in the Brisa, it's benichusa. Vatanya, just like we learned in the Brisa. Kachim is back tmimin. Vinasu bali mumin. Va'avar ushchatan. If you have kachim is back that it's mimin, and then they became bali mumin, and you shechted them before you were po to them. Rebbe Omer ikaveru, that you have to bury them so that no one ever gets any anah from them, because the chiyuv of hamad v'aracha before the pidyon is even by kachim mizbeach. And once you shecht it and you're not able to fulfill hamad v'aracha, there's no chance for pidyon anymore. So anything that's not omid the pidyon is never going to become chulin, even when you commit mi'ila. And therefore, it's going to be subject to multiple mi'ilos, because there's no chance of becoming chulin. The chum omrim yipadid. The chum say if you're not poded before the shechita, you could still be poded after shechita, because the pasuk does not have to require hamad v'aracha. The puzzle only requires Hamad V'Aracha by Behemah Tameya. But Kachim is Be'ach, you could be Poda without Hamad V'Aracha, and therefore even if they die, you could be Poda them. And since they're eligible to become Chulin, the first person that's Mo'al in them has made them Chulin, and that's why they're not subject to Mo'al Achar Mo'al. Okay, B'Shem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom tomorrow. Oh, yeah.